This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Do you and your family or those you are close to have similar traits? My husband sleeps in a lot, so maybe that's where my teenagers got it from. Who knows? Do you look alike? Maybe you are tall and got that from your parents. Or maybe there's a family trait of having blonde hair, or character traits with those close to you, like having the same sense of humour. So, this is my part of my family. My lovely husband there on the left, Phil, and Ollie and Finley. This about sums up one of their passions in life, good meals out. And generally, when we're out and we're eating together, so I like to have heart-to-hearts with people. I like to sort of like, what are we grateful for, guys? Like, what's going on in your life? And honestly, if I can get a straight answer out of any of them, it's like I'm doing well. So we're normally sitting around the table. They're loving having their food. And honestly, it's a joke a minute with them. They're like killing themselves in laughter. And I'm like, come on, I want to talk like about deep and meaningful things. And they're just having a blast. So this has passed through the family line. Love of food and sense of humor. Definitely. So, in what ways are you like someone in your family or those that you live with, those that are close to you? Maybe just have a quick chat with those in your pew and share what family traits do you notice in yourself, or physical traits, character traits? Go for it. Okay. That may be not long enough. But I will stop you there. Would anyone like to shout out some of the family traits? What kind of things, what sort of things have you noticed that that you've picked up from your family? Does anyone want to admit it?
They're all tall.
Tall, yeah.
Ears.
Sorry? Oh, opinionated. Ah, yeah. Holding strong views. So yeah, there's lots of things that we get from our family, or those that we've grown up with, or those that we live with. And we can get to know what people's families are like by knowing them a little bit. Their character traits or physical traits point to the people that they got them from. And sometimes it can be really hard to get to know God, the God who made the universe, who is invisible and perhaps not very like us. But if we get to know Jesus, we get to know God the Father too. Jesus is the clearest, fullest, most ultimate revelation of God. Jesus is the exact representation of God, like Father, like Son. I feel very echoey. Is there anything I can do, Alex? Well, we'll keep going. So we can get to know Jesus as we pray, as we read the Bible, as we create spaces in our daily lives to experience his love and peace. And as we try to live out our faith in our daily lives. And as we do this, we discover his character and his nature. We discover his faithfulness to us in both our successes and our failures. In times of feeling really close to God and really alive, and in times where we are seriously doubting, we realize that there is always something more that Jesus wants to reveal to us about himself, that then also shows us who the Father is, like Father, like Son. So this morning, we're going to start our Lent series, which cover the 40 days leading up to Easter. So we're going to look at the New Testament book of Hebrews, which is a book that explores this question, who is Jesus? We see that Jesus is the exact, clearest, fullest, most ultimate revelation of God. Jesus is the exact representation of God and is worthy of our total trust and devotion. So I wonder, what more is Jesus going to reveal to you over the next 40 days about himself? You will notice that reading through this book, the author quotes the Old Testament time and time again. So the Old Testament is the first two-thirds, something like that. And the author in Hebrews is quoting from the Old Testament time and time again, showing that Jesus is actually the one the Old Testament's been pointing to all along. The author is explaining that Jesus holds the family likeness to the God of the Jews. He holds the same nature, the same character as God that we read about in the Old Testament. Parts that seem confusing to you as we read through Hebrews make far more sense when we take time to go back to the Old Testament references and ponder what exactly is going on. The author is writing to a community that is extremely familiar with the Old Testament. So they would have understood all the references immediately, but if you're anything like me, I need a little bit more time to understand or even notice all these hyperlinks, all these links back to the Old Testament and what they're trying to tell us. But what you will notice is that the author points to Jesus being superior to all the other ways that God has revealed himself to his people through the law, the prophets, the Psalms. We'll see that Jesus is superior to the angels that gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Jesus is superior to Moses, who made a covenant with God on Israel's behalf. Jesus is the great high priest, whose ministry is superior to the previous priests who offered sacrifices. And Jesus' sacrifice is superior to all the animal sacrifices that the Israelites were required to do to atone for their sin. These sacrifices were just pointing all the time to Jesus, to his ultimate sacrifice when he died on the cross that reconciles us with God. So Jesus is the fullest, the clearest, and most ultimate revelation of God. As we get to know Jesus, we get to know God the Father too. So I wonder, what more is Jesus going to reveal to you about himself over the next 40 days as we read through this book? So Tozer, who is a prominent Christian thinker in the 20th century, once famously said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What do you think? So, I've got a quick question for you. You should have a little bit of paper in your pews and a pen if you can grab them. And I would like you to write down two or three words that come into your mind to describe Jesus. So it's not a right or wrong. It's like, what is your experience? How do you perceive Jesus? Two or three words. No right or wrong here. It's your perception. Okay. Now, on maybe another column or somewhere else on the paper, write two or three words to describe God the Father, how you perceive God the Father. And just take a moment to notice those two different things that you've written down. Are they the same? Are they different? Do you think of God in the same way that you think of Jesus? This is all part of the Trinity. But there are distinct parts of the Trinity. In most of my 20s and 30s, and yes, I'm in my 40s, I used to find myself relating to God and Jesus quite differently. For many years, I felt like God was the stern, strict one looking for perfection from me that I had to kind of appease in some way. And Jesus was the one that I could approach who is more loving and more kind. And some of the mystery of the Old Testament stories seemed to throw up more questions about character and seemed to compound this view of him in myself. But I think we base our view of God the Father through the lens of our earthly father. And I know that was the case for me. I think my dad is amazing. He's a really good dad. But he is human and had his flaws as I was growing up. He was very career-driven, very absent. He was utterly full of fear about the future, health, money, what other people thought. It keeps going. And he didn't really do emotion apart from anger. So naturally, I view God through that lens. We just do it subconsciously. However, through the years of following Jesus, I feel like he's shown me and continues to show me how utterly gracious and good and kind and gentle and welcoming the Father really is. That I can share my real self with the Father and be honest about things. And consequently, I found myself living more as a response to that love rather than trying to earn that love or trying to prove that I'm worthy of it. I've learned, and I'm still learning, that the God of the Old Testament is the same character, has the same character as the Jesus of the New Testament that we read about. It's in Jesus that we see the Father fully. But I know there's always more to learn. There's another layer, another invitation for me to respond to. Now, I'm aware this might be a really tricky area for some of you. On one hand, maybe you had a great father and a brilliant relationship with him, and even questioning how there could be more to learn might make you feel really uncomfortable. Or maybe you've had a really bad experience with your own dad, or maybe you never even knew him. Maybe you've lost your dad, and this topic brings up grief. And if this is hard for you, that's okay. Following Jesus is a constant journey of healing. And God wants to meet us in that place of pain and bring his freedom and healing as he reveals his true, kind, compassionate nature to us. There will be space to pray for you at the end. So I'd like to invite Anne to come and read and Lizzie to come and do something else, which will all be revealed at the right time. Oh yeah. So this is Hebrews 1:1-4. This is the section we're going to be looking at today.
In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll take that. Cheers. So yeah, that verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. powerful. God is speaking to us through his son, Jesus. In the past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but now he is speaking to us through Jesus, the Son, who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation. So the word representation, you ready to learn a bit of Greek? We're going to be learning the word charaktera. Can you all try and say that? Charaktera. Yeah, you need a bit of at the back of your throat. Charak. So this is the Greek word that's actually come into our English language with a different meaning. Can you guess what the English word is? Hey, yeah, well done, well done. Character. The characteristics of a person. But this Greek word, charaktera, is actually a word that describes ancient coin making or the wax seal. So it's the same kind of thing. If you're making coins or a seal or something, you get a mold, pour hot wax into it or metal, and then you take the mold away, you're left with the raised image, the imprint. Or, as we're going to do here, you can press the into. Yeah, go for it if it's ready. We have a live demonstration, everybody. Woohoo! So this is what, so pressing the seal and the hot wax. So this is what this passage is telling us. Excellent. Primary school teacher. Hey, thanks, Lizzie. Well done. You may have seen that on Traitors recently, those little wax seals. This is a nicer example. Thanks. So why did the ancients do this? Any guesses? Why were they using a seal? Why would they have sent letters like this before? Shout out. They didn't have email. Yes. Excellent. Any other reasons for using a seal? Yeah, to prove the identity. Absolutely. It shows us who it's from. Shows us who it is. And it shows us that it's genuine. Genuine Harry Potter. So the author of Hebrews is saying to us that Jesus is the exact representation, the character, not of a Harry Potter stamp, but the accurate imprint of God's very being. So if you want to know God, just look at Jesus. In John 14:9, Jesus says that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. This is an astounding claim. And this is what the Hebrews author is developing and explaining here and continues to explain throughout the book. So if you were to ask someone, what do you think God is like? I imagine we would get a million different ideas about him. I remember talking to one of my husband's cousins who had no experience of Christianity, and him questioning us on what it meant to follow God. He was quite fearful of it because his concept of God meant it was a distant dictator who would take away his own autonomy and his sense of self. He saw someone that would like actually make him feel less himself, whereas I think Jesus is actually the one who invites us to discover more fully who he's made us to be. But it's interesting having that discussion with him. Maybe you've chatted with people that think God is maybe a powerful energy force out there in the universe or a creator that's distant and uninvolved in the world. Or maybe it's a God with a different name. Christian faith says that God is Jesus-shaped. Jesus is the charaktera, the character, the representation of God himself. So to know Jesus is to know God. So, a question for you. How can we get to know Jesus and therefore know God? I'm currently on a prayer journey that's called the 19th Annotation. It's an Ignatian contemplative prayer journey that's led me through 9 months of daily prayers that give space to explore God's movements in my life and a chance to pray through the stories of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. This prayer journey is wonderful and very challenging all at the same time. I've been following Jesus most of my life, but the discovery about him literally never ends. And what I've loved in this prayer journey is reading through some of the gospel stories about Jesus and imagining myself sitting there with him, either as one of the characters or as a bystander, just noticing what's going on, noticing what Jesus is doing or isn't doing, what he's saying, what he's not saying. And it's really interesting to notice Jesus drawing my attention to different sides of his personality that I may have overlooked. Or maybe I've known them here, but I've not known them here. I wonder if you've ever done that. If you've been here over the last month, we've launched a new leaflet called DAY, which stands for Devote, Ask, Yield, which gives us a framework for spending time with Jesus throughout the day, starting in the morning with a devotion of some sort, maybe reading the Bible. And during Lent, you could use that devote section at the beginning of the day for your Hebrews reading plan. So I'll be doing this over the next 40 days as well, reading through Hebrews and seeing what comes up. So I might, in a moment, share a little bit more about what Jesus has been revealing to me. But first of all, I'd love to invite three lovely people up just to come and share what they've been noticing about Jesus, what they've been learning. Do come up, guys. Because there's always more to learn. There's always more to learn about Jesus. And so I would love to hear from them. I'll just get this. I'll move this out of the way. What have you noticed or learned about Jesus recently? What's he been showing you? Have you spent time with him?
Even at my great age, there's things to learn. It's amazing. He's showing me there's more of him. I may think there's no more in a situation when I feel as if I need more comfort and he's not giving it, or I need more help in a certain area. But I find as I cry out to God and ask him, he gives me more. How can you get more when you think there is no more? It's amazing. There's more help or comfort for a solution for my needs and problems. And I'm just finding his provision goes on and on.
Excellent. Can you, any specific examples? I'm putting you on the spot now.
You are.
I am.
He has shown me that he's my greatest validator. So he's reminded me of some mind-blowing verses, like when he prayed before he was arrested and eventually crucified, he said to God the Father in John 17:22, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them," meaning his followers. And then in verse 10, before that, is also recorded that he said, "I am glorified in them." And another verse that you might all be familiar with, or most of you, is actually in John 8:12, where Jesus calls himself the light of the world. But he also drew my attention to another verse in Matthew 5:15, where he said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." And I find that mind-blowing. So he's really highlighted to me just how much he loves to encourage us and to tell us these astonishingly positive things about ourselves.
Thank you.
Thank you. It showed me his compassion. I think kind of really understanding how Jesus really sees other people and how he sees me and how he has compassion on me and trying to, I suppose, live that out as I step out and see the world around me, but also shaped how I pray, how I, you know, walk into situations, knowing that, you know, that's his heart for people, that's his heart for me, and that's how God sees, sees the world and sees everyone and each one of us, that is not too distant and is not too far, but actually in the Gospels, when you see Jesus, you know, Jesus sees people and has compassion on them, and that's how God equally sees us and has compassion on us, and that goes alongside really how he loves us, you know, understanding his love for us in that compassion. So
that's awesome, thank you. I'll just throw this to the group because I haven't put them on this, but when you want to spend time with Jesus, what do you find the most helpful thing to do? Do you like just pray in the morning, or just one thing? Would anyone like to just share something that you find helpful as you follow Jesus day by day?
I find it helpful to start with just silence so that my mind is actually freer. And then to start by just sharing very honestly. I think somebody previously said that Jesus is really interested in us and how we are, and just to really share whatever's been going on and then see how the Holy Spirit leads me from there. And then I like to finish with a worship song that's just completely focused on him.
Excellent. Thank you. Anyone else?
Worship. I think one of the first things I try and, well, not try and do when I wake up in the morning is, I always have this song on my heart, and I wake up and whatever that song is, and I'll put it on and I'll listen to it before I wake up, and and then kind of really maybe go into some silence. But yeah, it tends to, kind of feel like I'm sitting there with Jesus and trying to listen into what he's got for me for that day.
Awesome. Thank you.
I have to be quite disciplined, otherwise I do all sorts of rubbish first thing and then I run out of time. So I try to make a cup of tea, sit down in this particular chair and just a few minutes silence, and then use some Bible, not notes, Lectio 365, you're probably familiar with. I never used to use stuff like that. I just thought you have to make your own prayers, but I just find that so, so helpful to get me going, and then thoughts and ideas and prayers come out of that.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's great. So, yeah, recently I've been reading a story about Jesus and the woman who has been bleeding for 12 years, who finds Jesus in the crowd and touches his cloak and is healed. In that culture, what she was suffering with meant complete shame and isolation from her community. But Jesus, as well as healing her, spoke so kindly to her and gave her honor and acceptance. So as I've kind of imagined myself in this scene with Jesus, I've noticed that more than anything, he speaks to her, speaks directly to her, and taking away her shame, showing her honor and acceptance. And I feel like that's what God is revealing to me again about himself, that that's how he treats me, despite any failures or shame in my own life. So as we get to know Jesus, we get to know the Father. And I wonder what more Jesus wants to reveal to you about himself over the next 40 days. There's always something more. So Hebrews, this wonderful book that we're going to be going through, teaches us Jesus is the clearest, the fullest, the most ultimate revelation of God, and is worthy of our complete trust and devotion. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So as we get to know Jesus, we get to know God. So I'd love to invite you guys just to stay where you are for the moment. Maybe close your eyes. We're just going to give a moment to reflect on the things I've been saying. You might want to close your eyes. Maybe notice your breathing. You might want to say a breath prayer as you breathe in. Jesus, you are here. And as you breathe out, and I am with you. I'd love you just to notice what questions or memories or emotions have stirred in you as I've been speaking this morning. It may be that something's been triggered, memory, a relationship. Or it may be that you're feeling really distant and ambivalent and you'd just love to be passionate again about Jesus. Just notice. Now imagine Jesus is sitting right next to you. What do you want to say to him in this moment? Just give a little bit longer for you to stay in that place. You may want to write down on that piece of paper your prayer or your reflection or your question. And just give a few more moments. Shall we stand together? We're going to just go into a time of prayer. And one of the ways that we love to get to know Jesus is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you would like any prayer for anything that's been spoken about today, then there'll be an opportunity to come to the front where we can pray for you and just see how Jesus wants to meet you. And just again, I want to say this can be a really difficult area for people thinking about their own father. Maybe you had a father that inflicted pain rather than love and safety. And if you'd like prayer for that, we'd love to pray for you. So let's just take a moment. Firstly, I know I want to learn more about Jesus over the next 40 days. So why don't we ask him? If you'd like him to reveal something new to you about himself during Lent, then why don't you put your hands out in front of you and I'll pray. Jesus, we love you. You are the one who shows us the Father. You came to bring life and life in its fullness. You came to show us the compassion and the love and the goodness of the Father. So as we go through the next 40 days, maybe reading the Bible plan or fasting or praying, we ask that you will reveal some new treasures to our heart about who you are. And the things that we hold in our minds or our heads about you, will you reveal it to our hearts as well? Come, Holy Spirit. This morning, when I was praying, I had a picture of a statue that was, where it was someone inside a statue. It's like there was a hard outer shell. And I felt like the Lord was just taking off some of this outer shell that someone had put around themselves to protect themselves. And I felt like the invitation from God this morning was, it's okay, I'm safe, you can trust me. You can let go of this outer shell. I want to reveal my true self to you, as though you've had to protect yourself from the idea of a father. So I'd love to pray for you if anyone feels like that is something that you are journeying. Before we invite people to pray, just leave space if anyone else had any words or pictures that they felt God was showing them during the worship or this morning. Please share. If you'd like prayer for anything that has been spoken about today, I'd love to invite you to come to the front and we'll ask some people to pray. So that was a picture of a wave that's coming. It's crashed over someone and it's felt damaging to them. And we'd love to pray for you this morning. Declaring the good experience of imagining Jesus sitting next to us in this room. Yeah, well, if anyone would like to respond to that, would you like to make your way down to the front and we'll gather some people around you to pray for you.